Good morning, and welcome to Simply Finance. It's Saturday, April 13th. On today's show, we'll discuss what's causing all the volatility in commodity and financial markets, as well as the departure of Prelude Therapeutics' finance officer. Plus, the Bucyrus Bratwurst Festival faces a deadline to submit financial records to City Council. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Finance. We start off with a look at the recent volatility in both the commodity and financial markets. Joining us now to discuss what's behind these market moves is our Simply Finance correspondent. So, what do you see as the key factors driving this volatility?
There are a few things at play here, David. First, the latest USDA report in April, known as the BOSTE, disappointed many market participants. The agency made some supply and demand adjustments for U.S. corn, but failed to sufficiently account for the disappearance shown in the quarterly stocks report. They also punted on making significant cuts to South American crop estimates, even as local agencies there slashed their own forecasts due to weather issues and pest problems. This has created a major divergence between USDA's numbers and what analysts believe the real production will be.
What impact does this discrepancy between USDA and private estimates have on the markets?
It creates a lot of uncertainty. If USDA is overestimating South American crops but doesn't correct it for months, it could be costly for U.S. farmers in terms of the price discovery process. Prices may be artificially depressed based on inflated global supply assumptions. But at some point, USDA will have to reckon with the actual harvest numbers. The question is when they will make those adjustments. For now, it seems they are reluctant to cut estimates without hard evidence.
Outside of agriculture, what else is contributing to the recent volatility?
The sharp plunge in the stock market over the past 2 weeks is definitely spilling over into commodities. The Dow has shed nearly 1,900 points as investors grow nervous about stubbornly high inflation, the potential for a war in the Middle East, and the prospect of interest rates staying higher for longer than previously expected. This has prompted a wave of profit-taking and position liquidation that is weighing on markets across the board, commodities included. Although, interestingly, the grain markets did rally on Friday, even as many other commodities sold off.
Where do you see the stock market going from here? Is the correction over, or is there more downside to come?
Technical analysis suggests there could be further to fall. Market technician Jerry Gulke notes that after a big move higher, a 50% retracement is common, while a 38% pullback happens around 60% of the time. A full two-thirds retracement occurs about a third of the time. So based on the size of the prior rally, Gulke thinks it's likely investors will take more risk off the table and the indexes will grind lower.
As funds flow out of equities, is there a chance some of that money rotates into beaten-down commodity markets like grains and helps spark a rally?
It's possible, but probably too early to say for sure. The liquidation trade has been indiscriminate so far, with speculators and investors selling both equities and commodities. But if the fundamentals for grains continue to improve, with tightening global supplies and strong demand, it could start to attract some of those sideline funds, especially if the discrepancy between USDA's estimates and reality becomes too glaring to ignore. We'll have to wait and see if money managers view the ag markets as an attractive alternative to stocks or bonds.
Thanks for that update and analysis on the latest volatility in the commodity and financial markets. In other finance news, Prelude Therapeutics, a Wilmington-based life sciences company, is searching for a new chief financial officer after Laurent Chardonnay stepped down from the position on April 8th. Chardonnay will continue to consult for Prelude until October to ensure a smooth transition. For more on this story, we turn to our Simply Finance correspondent. What can you tell us about Chardonnay's departure and Prelude's plans moving forward?
Prelude Therapeutics stated that they appreciate Chardonnay's contributions and wish him well. The company is currently conducting a search for a permanent CFO to replace him. In the meantime, Prelude's board of directors has appointed Bryant Lim, the company's chief legal officer and corporate secretary, to serve as the interim head financial officer.
Can you provide some background on Chardonnet's role at Prelude and his experience in the industry?
Chardonnet and Prelude's CEO, Chris Vaddy, both previously worked at Incyte Corporation, a major drug developer. Chardonnet served in key financial roles at several companies, including as CFO of Axela Health, Inc. During his tenure as Prelude's finance executive, he helped the company raise $166.6 million through its public offering in 2020. As of the end of the third quarter of 2023, Prelude reported having cash or equivalents of $230.5 million, giving it a runway to 2026.
What do we know about Bryant Lim, the interim CFO? What experience does he bring to the role?
Bryant Lim joined Prelude in 2023 after serving in executive roles at Asuragen Inc., previously known as Idera Pharmaceuticals. There, he oversaw business development and corporate governance activities. Lim also has experience at Incyte, where he served as Vice President of Legal and Global Chief Compliance Officer. Additionally, he currently serves on the Board of Directors for Life Sciences of Pennsylvania, the statewide biotechnology industry association.
As Prelude searches for a permanent CFO, what challenges and opportunities does the company face in the competitive life sciences industry?
Prelude Therapeutics has garnered international attention for its innovative work on small molecule inhibitors, a targeted cancer therapy approach with potentially fewer side effects compared to traditional treatments like chemotherapy or radiation. The company recently opened its new headquarters at the Chestnut Run Innovation and Science Park in Wilmington, Delaware. With a strong cash position and a promising pipeline, Prelude is well positioned to attract top talent for the CFO role and continue its growth trajectory. However, the life sciences industry is highly competitive, and the company will need to navigate regulatory hurdles and demonstrate the efficacy of its therapies to succeed in the long run.
Thank you for that insightful analysis on Prelude Therapeutics' leadership transition and their search for a new CFO as they advance their pipeline of cancer therapies. Shifting gears to a very different type of story, the Bucyrus Bratwurst Festival in Ohio is facing increased scrutiny from the Bucyrus City Council over its finances. The council has been providing free essential services to the festival since 2018, but is now considering repealing that ordinance. For more on this developing story, we turn to our correspondent on the ground in Bucyrus. What can you tell us about the situation?
The Bucyrus City Council, and specifically the Finance Committee, has grown increasingly frustrated with the Bratwurst Festival's lack of financial transparency. The council first requested detailed financial records from the festival back in February, but festival organizers have so far refused to comply. This has led the Finance Committee Chairwoman Vicky Dishon to push for repealing the ordinance that provides free city services to the festival each year.
What kind of city resources are currently being provided to the festival, and why is the council now reconsidering that arrangement?
Since 2018, the city has been providing essential services like safety forces and trash removal to the Bratwurst Festival free of charge. But some on the council, including Council President Kurt Fankhauser, are questioning whether those funds could be better spent elsewhere, such as on the upkeep of the community pool. There's a sense that the festival needs to open up its books if it wants to continue receiving this annual assistance from the city.
So what are the next steps in this process? How is the council planning to proceed in trying to get the festival to disclose its finances?
The council is taking a formal approach and escalating matters. They have sent an official certified letter to the festival's statutory agent, Kevin Myers, demanding that detailed financial records be turned over. That letter was dated April 5th, so the festival is now up against a deadline to provide that information. The Bucyrus City Council Finance Committee has a meeting scheduled for April 18th, where they plan to determine next steps, which could include moving forward with repealing the Festival Assistance Ordinance.
Have festival organizers given any public response or explanation for why they haven't disclosed their financial records to the council up to this point?
Both the festival director Kevin Myers and council clerk Miranda Wise have not responded to requests for comment from local media outlets. It remains unclear why the festival has been unwilling to share financial details with the city council, especially given the significant resources the city provides to help put on the annual event. But with this new deadline and increased pressure from the council, festival organizers may be forced to provide some answers and transparency in the coming days and weeks.
Certainly a developing story to keep an eye on. Thank you for that update from Bucyrus, Ohio. In other news, Figma, the popular design and collaboration platform, is not sitting idly by as it awaits regulatory approval of its $20 billion acquisition by Adobe. The startup just announced it is adding three new generative AI features to its FigJam online whiteboard tool. Here with more details is our Simply Tech correspondent. So what exactly are these new AI capabilities Figma is introducing?
Figma is leveraging generative AI to make its FigJam whiteboarding tool easier to use and help teams better organize their projects. The first feature allows users to create a new FigJam board simply by describing what they need, like a calendar or project timeline. The AI will then generate a template to get them started. This addresses the common challenge of facing a blank canvas and not knowing where to begin.
That does sound helpful for getting the creative process flowing. What about once users have begun adding content to a FigJam board?
Yes, as FigJam boards grow, they can become unwieldy with many sticky notes containing ideas and tasks. Figma's second new feature uses AI to automatically sort those stickies into logical groupings, like by theme or by the person responsible. This should make large boards much easier to parse and manage over time.
Interesting. And I understand Figma has one more AI feature to help synthesize key points once a board is complete?
That's right. Scrolling through a sea of sticky notes to glean the main takeaways from a brainstorming session can be very time-consuming. So Figma is using AI to automatically generate a summary of the board's key themes and action items. It's meant to capture the essential points without a user having to do that manually.
What's enabling Figma to add these types of AI capabilities now, and are there any guardrails in place?
Figma is leveraging OpenAI's large language model as the foundation, but has customized it to understand Figma and FigJam's specific concepts. The company is also testing a warning system to prevent users from going outside the intended use cases in a way that could generate harmful or inappropriate content. But this is just a starting point. Figma sees a big opportunity to get creative with AI, to enable more visual collaboration for its large user base that extends well beyond just designers.
Fascinating developments to make visual collaboration more accessible. The new Figma AI features are available starting today in an open beta. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Finance. We'll see you back here tomorrow.